Hey, we're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva the Verve!
Just remember, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago or so, there were a bunch of TV shows about people getting makeovers, right? There was like Extreme Makeover, not the home version, but the person version, and there was The Swan. This is my symbol for The Swan. I don't know why, but this is The Swan, right? There was all these shows, and they were really popular, and I think the reason is because we dream of that, right? We dream of becoming like a better version of me. And I think that was the allure of the shows. It's like, man, look, this is a person who's getting made over. They're becoming something different. But I think somewhere deep inside of us, we all doubt it's really possible, right? We've been stuck with our same problems for so long. We have these habits we can't break. You know, our personalities have these flaws we don't enjoy but can't seem to change. And I wonder if that's why those shows went away. You know, I don't think there are anymore. Now all the Extreme Makeover shows are about houses and cars and motorcycles, you know, because I wonder if it's because we watch it and it was like cool, but then we're like, man, it's just not real. Real change doesn't happen. And also, watching those shows, it was like, we realized that's not the kind of change we want, we really need. It's not external change, right? You can get a new haircut, new wardrobe, new boobs, new whatever, and you're still the same. Are you not used to hearing boobs in church? I apologize. But it's true, right? You're still the same person you used to be, just with a different external appearance. And we watch this and we're like, no, that's not it. That's not what I want. But we do want to change, right? We have this dream of growing from like the inside out. And I've got really good news for you today. Because God also has the goal of you changing, of you transforming, of you becoming a better version of you. God's idea is that his goal for your life is that you would become closer to him, that you would grow to become closer to him, and you would grow to become more like Jesus. And I will tell you this, that should be your goal for your life as well. If you are starting to kind of get the idea of who God is, and if you read about Jesus in the Bible, it will be very obvious to you, that's what I want. That's what I long for deep inside, is to be closer to God and to become more like Jesus, because he lived an amazing life. And if my life could look a little more like his life, that'd be good. That's the me I want to be. And so we want to grow. God wants us to grow. And so really the question becomes, how? How do we grow, right? How do we grow? And if you ask people, like if you ask Christians, you know, hey, I know we all want to grow, but why are you going to grow? Like, why a year from now are you going to be further along in your life than you are today? Why in 10 years will you be further along spiritually than you are today? And how will you grow? Like, how are you going to get from here to there? How are you going to become closer to God and more like Jesus? You would hear an answer a lot. And right now, maybe you can even come up with your answer in your head. Why are you going to grow? How are you going to grow? Well, if you ask a lot of people, there's an answer you'd hear a lot, and it's a myth. It's a myth. It doesn't help a person grow at all. In fact, if you applied this myth to anything else in life, you'd realize how stupid it really is. But for some reason, when we apply it to spirituality, we think it makes sense, and it doesn't. It doesn't help us to grow. See if maybe you kind of have fallen victim of this myth as well. The myth is what I call the I want to really bad myth. The want to really bad myth. And so the idea is you say to someone, how are you going to grow? Why are you going to grow? And the answer that they'd say in their own words is, well, I want to. I mean, I really want to. That's why I'm here today, because I want to get closer to God. And I want to grow to become more like Jesus. That's why I'm here. So I will, right? Wrong. No, that's not how it works. You don't grow because you want to. And it sounds like, but no, wouldn't you? No, you wouldn't. And in fact, if you apply that to anything else, you'll realize it doesn't make any sense. Let's do it. Let's say that I wanted to get physically fit. And you said, cool, how are you going to do it? And I said, I want to. I want to be in better shape. That's what I'm going to do. You'd be like, really? That's your plan? Or if I said, yeah, there's a marathon coming up in like a couple months. I'm gonna run the marathon. And you said, how are you going to do it? I want to. Like the day of the marathon, I really am going to want to finish. And so I'm going to go out there. I'm going to try real hard to finish because I want to. I would die after like 3 or 4 miles, right? It doesn't matter if I want to. Who cares if you want to? It doesn't matter, right? Or you could apply to, let's say, a student's in college, and you say, how are you going to get good grades? Well, I want to get good grades. So that's your plan? Yeah, when I go to those tests, now I'm gonna want to do good. I'm going to grit my teeth. I'm going to do my best. Really, that's how you're going to do it. That's how I'm going to do it. You're not going to get good grades. Apply it to marriage. How are you going to have a good marriage? I want to have a good marriage. Will that work? No, it won't. Anything. We could change it. Let's say hunger. Let's say you're hungry and you don't want to be hungry anymore. And so your plan is, I'm just going to not want to be hungry. Really? Will that work? Or I'm going to try really hard not to be hungry. Yeah, that doesn't work either. Or let's say you're tired, but for some reason you just can't fall asleep. And so you're like, I really have to go to sleep. And so your plan was, I need to want to fall asleep more. Or I'm just going to try real hard to fall asleep. Will that cause you to fall asleep? No, in fact, it may do the opposite. If you start thinking, man, I really want to, and I'm going to try real hard, it might keep you awake even longer, right? It's a myth. It doesn't work with anything, and it definitely doesn't work with spirituality. You don't grow closer to God because you want to. You don't grow to become more like Jesus because you want to. That's not the way it works in anything. That's not how we accomplish anything or grow in any way in life. So how do you grow? How does a person grow? You grow by establishing healthy habits. That's how you grow in life. With anything, right? You establish healthy habits and then you grow. And so like, I want to get physically fit. How should I do it? Well, you need to start eating healthy and exercising regularly, right? You establish healthy habits and then you get physically fit. You want to run a marathon. Well, you start training for it. You do the kind of things. You train now so that you have these habits built in that will allow you to run a marathon. You want to get good grades? Study, memorize, read, you know, and then you'll get good grades because you established healthy habits. Marriage? You don't want to have a good marriage. You communicate a lot, and you forgive, and you have date nights, and then, wow, we have a good marriage because we established healthy habits. You're hungry and you don't want to be hungry anymore. You need to do what it takes to get food in your mouth and in your belly, right? That's how you're not hungry anymore. It's not by wanting to not be hungry. No, you get food into your stomach and you're not hungry anymore. You want to fall asleep? You don't grit your teeth and try. No, you figure out what helps me to fall asleep. Maybe it's having it dark. Maybe it's having a nightlight. Maybe it's having 2 pillows. Maybe it's, you know, drinking a glass of warm milk. Whatever it takes, you do what it takes to create the right conditions, the right habits, so that you fall asleep. And the same is true with spiritual growth. This is how you grow. And if I were to ask you, why are you going to grow? How are you going to grow spiritually? And your answer was, I want to. Like, I'm going to grow because I want to. Won't I grow closer to God, more like Jesus, because I want to, right? Wrong. You won't. We grow by establishing healthy habits. That's why the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, we'll put it up on the screen. If you have a Bible, you can turn there, but if not, we'll put it on the screen for you. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says this. It says, Train yourselves to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. See, it says, train yourselves to be godly. You have to establish healthy habits. And so, yeah, we need to want to, and trying hard may help, but in the end, healthy habits produce spiritual growth. So for a couple weeks, we're going to talk about what are those healthy habits? How do you grow? How do I become more like God and more like Jesus, closer to God, closer to Jesus? And today we're going to talk about serving. Now, if you've been here, we've been talking about serving for the last 3 weeks in our GPS series. But the focus there was, like, where do I serve? How do I find God's unique purpose for my life so I can make the greatest impact with my life? And that's great, right? Because we want to find our niche. And we want, with our lives, to make a real impact. And with our church, man, we want to turn the world upside down. But what we're going to talk about today is not that. It's not where do I serve, but what we're going to do is look at the fact that serving is one of the ways that we grow closer to God and become more like Jesus. It's one of those habits that we need to establish in our life to help us to grow. And really, it is a habit. Like, we need to think of it as a habit because we've been taught the opposite our whole lives, right? You have not been taught in our culture to serve others. You've been taught to serve yourself. right? That's the way we live our lives. We've learned it. And so I serve myself. I look out for number one. I promote my own interests. I make sure that I'm comfortable and I'm okay. And we think that's the way we live. Now, here's the funny part. You talk to people and almost everybody is living a miserable life of quiet desperation, right? We're bored and we go through life. And yeah, once in a while we have good moments that kind of keep us going, but it keeps us going through our boring lives of quiet desperation. And so you would think that we would kind of do some math in our head and we would be like, wait a second. I've been taught to, and what I am doing is serving myself and looking out for number one and trying to make sure that I'm happy, but I'm not happy. And so maybe I've got this all backwards. Maybe I've been taught wrong. Maybe I need to do the exact opposite. But we don't. We don't do the math. We don't come to that conclusion. We just keep serving ourselves and trying to make sure we're taken care of and being pretty miserable. And so what we need to do is we need to find a different way of life. We need to develop a different habit. Because here's the key, and this is taught throughout the Bible, and I want you guys to really hear this and learn this today. Me not serving me is the key to me becoming the me I want to be. I'll say it again, because there's a lot of me's in there. Ready? Me not serving me is the key to me becoming the me I want to be. Jesus taught this all the time. It was one of his themes that he just kind of hit over and over. That, hey, listen, you can't serve you. If you serve you, you're never going to become what you want to become. You're never going to achieve what you want to achieve. Like one of the places he said it is in Mark chapter 9, verse 35. We'll put it up on the screen. By the way, we have Bibles. If you're like, man, I don't even think I own a Bible, or I have one, but it's like, I mean, it's hard to read. There's these and thous. It feels like it was translated in 1611. It was. And so if you go to our hub table, we'll give you a Bible for free. There's no catch or anything like that. But in Mark chapter 9, verse 35, the Bible says this. It says, sitting down, Jesus called the 12. Those are like the specially chosen followers who are kind of learning from him. And he said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. He's like, you really want to be first? You want yourself to be like what you want yourself to be? Then you need to put yourself last and you need to serve everyone else. Jesus taught this all the time. Me not serving me is the key to me becoming the me I want to be. And so we need to develop a habit that I am going to be a servant. I'm not going to live the way I've always lived. Instead, I'm going to like walk into every room thinking I am here to serve. Like, who can I serve? How can I serve? Every relationship I have, I'm going to look at that relationship as a chance to serve the other person rather than getting something from the other person. Every interaction I have throughout the day, in the back of my mind, I'm going to be thinking, is there a way I can serve this person? Is it just really by listening? Is it asking a question? Is there something I can do for them? That's what Jesus taught. If you want to become the me you really want to become, serve others, not yourself. Develop that habit and watch what happens. You'll grow closer to God and more like Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't just teach this. He also modeled it. It's the way he lived his life, and he lived the most amazing life. And over we see this. I want to show one example to you of a time when Jesus lived this way. So if you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and if you don't have a Bible, I will read to you, and you can just keep looking at me. So I'm looking pretty good today. Not bad. So let me give you some background as you turn there. Back in Jesus' time, people wore sandals, okay? And they didn't have paved roads. So you would walk all day on dirt roads. And throughout the day, your feet would become covered with dust, mud, dirt, sweat, maybe some animal droppings that you didn't notice as you were walking along kind of got attached to your foot. And so your foot would be filthy. Well, what they did was they had this kind of, this tradition that when you went to somebody's house for like a meal or to hang out with them, that someone would wash your feet. And it was a job reserved for like the lowest, because the foot washer, like, it was the lowest position on the totem pole. Okay, I mean, it, you know, because like feet are nasty, so it would be like a slave or maybe like the youngest child would have to wash your feet because, I mean, honestly, seriously, feet are nasty, right? I know there are people who have like a thing for feet. I do not get that at all. I'm like, really? Why? I mean, feet are bad. Like, you can tell the difference in how bad they are by comparing your hands and your feet. right? There are all kinds of good things that can be said or done with hands, right? Like you can say, hey, Jenkins, you got a firm handshake there, right? Or you can, hey, thumbs up, right? There's all kinds of things. There's an entire language with our hands, sign language, right? Years ago, I don't know if you remember, in the 80s, there was something called Hands Across America, where thousands of people gathered together to hold hands, right? Hands. There's all kinds of songs about hands. Jewel sang, ready? Ready? She sang, my hands are small, I know. That's how she does it right there. But they're not yours, they are my own. That was sort of like a mix between Jewel and Edith from Archie Bunker. I don't know. The Beatles sang, I want to hold your hand, right? At concerts, people are told to put your hands up in the air and wave them like you just don't care. But then you start thinking about feet. There's nothing good you can say or do with your feet, is there? Like, what do you say to somebody? Oh, your feet smell great today, right? Or, oh, I love what you did with the hair on your feet. Did you get a perm? Right? Or, man, your feet are so beautiful. Is that their natural color? Hey, just between us girls, are those your real feet or did you get some work done? Right? There's nothing you can say about feet. If it was feet language, sign language was done on your feet, it wouldn't work. If it was feet across America, it wouldn't have been thousands of people. There would have been like four sickos in a field somewhere trying to clasp their feet, right? And the songs, if Jewel sang, my feet are small, I know, but it would be like, what? Or if the Beatles said, I want to hold your foot, right? Throw your feet up in the air and wave them like you just don't care, right? It doesn't work because feet are just dumb. They're nasty. And so the foot washer, lowest person, I mean, it was the servant. Like, it was a job reserved for the least respected person. You got to do the nasty job of washing feet. All right, so John 13, Jesus has this kind of dinner party. And again, it's those 12 guys we saw him just teach. And everybody shows up for the dinner party, and everything's ready, the food's ready to go. The only thing is, there's no foot washer. And so everyone starts looking at each other because they realize somebody's got to do this. I mean, our feet are nasty. We can't eat like this. And do you want to know what else? They actually didn't sit back then for dinner. They would like lay on couches, which I like that idea, by the way. It's kind of comfy. But they would lay on couches. So your feet are kind of up in somebody's face while they're eating. Somebody's got to wash the feet. And so the 12 start making kind of like, I know I'm better than you looks, and I'm not going to do it, you're going to look, do it, gestures at each other, because they're not like, I'm not going to be the slave. If I do it, I'm saying I am the least in this group. And so everybody goes, fine, no one's going to do it. And they all sit down, and they start eating the meal, but their feet are still filthy. And so what happens is, Jesus gets up from the meal, and he grabs like a bucket of water and a towel, and he starts going person to person, washing their feet. And these 12 guys are looking at each other like, oh no, this is bad, because we know, we can argue about who's the least, but we know he's the most. You know, we know he's the most important. He's the greatest. He's the last one who should be washing feet. Does he not understand that somehow he missed the meeting where we all learned back when we were young, this is the job for the lowest, the servant, the slave. But there's something they didn't understand, that they didn't understand. Me not serving me is the key to me becoming the me I want to be. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing, and so he washed everyone's feet. And then look what he says at the end of doing that in John chapter 13, verses 14 through 17. Jesus says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And so he says, hey, this isn't something I'm doing by mistake. I know exactly what I'm doing. And not only am I doing it, I'm doing it to model this behavior for you. You need to become servants. Your life has to stop being about you and start being about others. I think what Jesus is teaching is stop making your life a worship service to yourself and start making it a worship service to your God. Stop serving yourself and start serving others. This is what I'm teaching, commanding, telling, modeling for you to do. And so develop this habit that you are going to be a servant. And I love what he says, that last line. He says, listen, now that you know this, you will be blessed if you do it. I'm quite sure that Jesus did not mean, hey, if you go out and really be a servant, you're going to have more money. That's what I mean by blessed, is you'll have a lot more money. Or you'll drive a nicer car because you're going to be blessed if you do it. I think what he's saying is, if you do this, you'll be closer to God. If you do this, you'll become more like me. That's what it means to be blessed, because that's what you really want. Deep inside, all the things you live for will never, ever satisfy you. As you continue along in life, putting yourself first, trying to get what you want, you're never going to be content with it. And so instead, what you need to do is worship God and serve other people, and then you'll become the me you want to be. Man, I'll tell you, I have seen this time after time to be true. Like, for instance, I led a church for the last 12 years in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and we sent about 100 people a year to third world countries on mission trips. On those trips, man, you sweat because most of those places are hot, and you eat food that you would never dream of eating. You're like, really? But you eat it, and you eat gross stuff, and you lose sleep every night because you're sleeping on like a board, or there's mosquitoes swirling around. I mean, it's horrible. There's no entertainment. There's nothing you ever do that you go, oh, here's the fun part. And so you go through all these horrible conditions for like a week, and then people come home, and do you know what they all say? It's the greatest time of my life. It's the greatest time of my life. Like, oh, if I could go back. Why? Everything we live for wasn't true there. The food, you know, we want the right food, we want the right experiences, we want to sleep well, and we want entertainment. None of it's there. Why was it so great? Because for a week they didn't worship themselves. They worshiped God. For a week they didn't serve themselves, they served other people. And that's the key. Me not serving me is the me I want to be. And I can tell you, I've had a few experiences like that myself, where I didn't just hear from other people. I got to experience me not being my normal self and realizing the way I live isn't the way I want to live. It's not going to get me where I want to go. I need to become a servant to get closer to God. I need to become a servant to become more like Jesus, and that's what I long for inside. But I'll be honest and tell you that most of the time, that is not how I live. Most of the time, my problem is I live way too much like my life is about me. One of the most, I don't know, shameful moments of my life, and that I'm most embarrassed about, and I'll tell you anyway, came a few years ago. I was in Cleveland, Ohio, and I went to the airport, and I was really early. And so I sat down at my gate to read for a while, and I'm sitting there reading just comfortably, when all of a sudden I was hit with the most unforgettable sensory experience of my life. It was this smell. I don't have words to describe it. Like, disgusting, revolting, nauseating, stench. Like, none of those words do us justice. You've never smelled anything so bad. Like, I just went and like tried to hold my breath, and I tried to figure out where the smell was coming from, but I couldn't, and it gradually faded away, and I was like, wow, that was weird. And I went back to reading. A couple minutes later, the smell came again. And I held my breath. It was like, I've never smelled anything so bad. And I looked around and I saw this woman standing next to me. I just walked up, and she had sandals on. She was carrying a thin plastic bag from a grocery store that had sneakers in it, just sneakers. And it was obvious she was from somewhere in the Middle East. And I realized pretty much for sure the smell's coming from her, or from her feet, or her sandals, or the sneakers in her bag. And in that moment, it was like I started having this rapid-fire inner dialogue. It was really a weird experience. Like, I thought to myself, oh, man, this is disgusting. She's gross. And there was like this voice. I don't know where it came from, but it said something like, "Vince, calm down. She is not her smell." And I said, "I know she's not her smell, but her smell is disgusting. Like, this is horrible." And the voice said, "Vince, listen, she's from the Middle East. They probably eat some foods that you're not used to, and maybe those foods have a certain smell. She's probably been walking all day in her sandals, and so maybe her feet smell. This is not a big deal." And I said, "No, this is a very big deal. Like I can't breathe. This is horrible. I am getting out of here." And this voice said, "Don't leave. Don't walk away. You stay right here. This is your chance to not be about you, to not worship you, to not care about your own comfort. Just stay here." And I said to whoever that voice was, I said, "No, I am leaving right now. Like, I'm just going to go sit somewhere else." And the voice said, "Don't leave." And I said, "It doesn't matter. It's not like I'm going to strike up a conversation with her or develop a friendship with her. I'm not going to let her know why I'm leaving. I'll do it very subtly. It doesn't matter." And the voice said, "Vince, it's not about you." And I said, "Yes, it is. It's about me. I'm getting out of here." And the voice said, "No, you need to stay." And I said, "No, I'm not. Because if I stay, this smell is going to kill me." And the voice said, "But what if leaving kills your soul?" And I said, "Whatever, I am leaving." And I did. I walked away very subtly. I didn't make a big deal of it. And I went and I sat somewhere else, where quite a distance from her, and I went back to read my book. A couple minutes later, the voice came on. "We're now seating for the flight." And so I walked over, and I'm standing in line when all of a sudden, the smell. And I turned around, and the lady was standing right behind me. And I thought, "Very funny, God. You're hysterical. Oh, you're so funny. Yeah, so you have me. Yeah, okay, I'm standing next to her." And so honestly, I tried to breathe through my mouth, and I held my breath for as long as I could, and then went the whole way through. And I'm just kind of standing there, kind of grumbling inside. And then this thought hit me. What if we're sitting next to each other on the plane? And I'm just being honest with you. I'm ashamed of this, but I just started praying. "God, I understand. I know. Okay, I realize, but I'm asking you, please don't let me sit next to her on the plane. I understand. Yeah, I get the whole thing. You've made your point. Like, I can't. Like, this is a kind of long flight. I will die. I cannot sit next to her on the plane. Please don't make me sit next to her on the plane." She sat next to me on the plane. Yeah, I sat down, and there she sat. And I just started grumbling inside. Honestly, I was just like, "I can't believe this. Like, why? I mean, I have to sit here now for 2 hours. Like, I can't breathe. What am I going to do? This is disgusting." And honestly, I'm thinking, I mean, what is producing this smell? Maybe it's because she's Middle Eastern. I don't know. But whatever foods they eat, I can't smell this bad. And I mean, yeah, I know she's wearing sandals and she has the sneakers. But, I mean, there is soap and water. Can't she wash her feet? And all these thoughts. And then all of a sudden, it was like I got slapped in the face with this thought. "Vince, Jesus was from the Middle East. Jesus ate whatever it is that people from the Middle East eat and whatever smells those foods produce. Vince, Jesus wore sandals, and he probably didn't have a lot of access to soap and water, and so his feet probably smelled just like hers." It was in that moment, it's like I got hit, man, like by a freight train. It was like, you know, I don't know about you, but I think most Christians like to picture myself meeting Jesus someday. Like, what if he came? Or what if in heaven he's standing there going, "Come on into heaven." And I kind of picture myself running up, and I'm not much of a hugger, but I'd hug him and, you know, just give him a big hug and, you know, and everything. But what if I ran up and just gagged? What if I ran up to Jesus and went, "Whoa!" What if his smell was revolting, nauseating, sickening, stench? And I realized in that moment that the fact that I was living my life as a worship service to me, the fact that I was all about serving me instead of worshiping God and serving others, not only was it keeping me from growing into the me I want to be, not only was it keeping me from growing closer to God and more like Jesus, it would actually keep me from Jesus. me being so concerned about me and my comfort and what I want, not only would it keep me from becoming like Jesus, it would very possibly keep me from Jesus. And man, my heart in that moment was just broken. It was broken because that's not who I want to be, right? Yeah. I've done this long enough that I realize the only way I'm ever going to be happy, the only way I'm going to ever have any real sustained joy, the only way I'm going to feel like there's some honor to who I am, the only way I'm going to set the example I want for my kids and be the kind of husband that my wife needs is if I'm close to God and like Jesus. It's the only way. And to do that, I need to become a servant. And you need to become a servant. That my life is not a worship service to me, it's to God. I don't serve me, I serve others. And so we do. I don't know how this sounds to you. It might be revolutionary. And my guess is it's not a habit you're in. And so you're going to have to approach it as if you are developing a habit. You're going to need to put in reminders and get other people to help you and keep you accountable. But every time I walk into a room, I'm here to serve. I'm not here for me. I'm here to serve. In my car, I'm here to serve the other drivers. Huh? I'm here to serve the other drivers. At work, I'm here to serve. I'm not here to make a paycheck. Bathroom's not clean. Good. It's a chance for me to serve. I'm here to serve. At this church, I'm here to serve. I don't come here because I want to grow and I need you to teach me. I come here because I'm supposed to serve. It's how I grow. And so where can I volunteer? Where can I make a difference? In this community, in Las Vegas. I'm not here because it's where I have a job, where I have a house. I'm here to serve and make Las Vegas a more beautiful place. How do I make a difference here? What's my GPS so I can figure out what do I do with my life in Las Vegas to make a difference? I am here to serve. That's how we grow. You don't grow by wanting to. You can want to for the rest of your life and you won't grow. You don't grow by gritting your teeth and trying hard. You grow by developing healthy habits, and one of them is serving. Me, not serving me, is the key to me becoming the me I want to be. You guys want to say it? Like, get this inside of you? You got it yet? Me, not serving me, is the key to me becoming the me I want to be. One more time. Me, throw your hands up in the air and wave them like, me, not serving me, is the key to me becoming the me I want to be. It's true. Throughout the rest of the series, we're going to talk about some other habits. What are they? What are the habits I can develop now to get me where I want to go in life? And so we'll talk about several more over the next few weeks. But for now, man, you're a servant. And if you're not a servant, you're not going to become what you want to be.